Yesterday in our class at the Warren County Radio Bible School, I began reading to you an article that Alan Hires of the Spiritual Sword had asked me to write for him about Paul's prayers. I wasn't able to complete that article, but I want to do so today. And at the end of this reading, I'm going to tell you again how you can subscribe to this publication if that is your desire to do so. Now, The Prayers of Paul is the name of the article. And I'm going to begin with the things that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. I'll do that in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let me turn to this article on the prayers of Paul. We've talked about his prayers in the book of Acts, the prayers that he recorded in the book of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and the one at Rome, and the epistle he wrote to the Corinthians. Now let me begin and follow up close to where we left off in our last class, where we read, the book of Acts closes with Paul awaiting trial in Rome. While under guard, Paul wrote the letters we call his prison epistles. To the churches of Ephesus and Asia, he wrote, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Ephesians 1, verses 15 through 19. My grandmother had a needlepoint sign in her house that said, ask God's blessings on your work, but do not also ask him to do it. Paul followed his prayer with this epistle. These words would give them the wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ for which he prayed. This is how the eyes of their understanding would be opened, and how they would know the hope of his calling. Consider also Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Those who received this epistle would comprehend and know this love. Through this knowledge, the Spirit would strengthen them in the inner man. We still draw spiritual strength from these living words. In like manner to the church of Colossae, Paul wrote, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. For this cause we also, since the days we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with all the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. Colossians 1, verses 3 through 14. Paul wrote these epistles to accomplish that for which he prayed. As he brought the epistle to a close, he told them of Epaphras, who was always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Paul and Epaphras had been praying together for them. Philemon was in Colossae, and to him Paul wrote, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Philemon, verses 4 through 6. Words of thanksgiving for faith, hope, and love were common in Paul's prayers. In an extended thank you note to the church at Philippi, Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Paul continued instant in prayer to the end. In 1 Timothy 1 in verse 12, he told his beloved son in the faith, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. In 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 4, he wrote, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. He wrote of his friend, saying, The Lord give mercy into the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy in the day of the Lord in that day. 2 Timothy 1, verses 16 through 18. And of those who had failed him in a time of need, he prayed with grace. I pray that it might not be laid to their charge. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. Paul's last prayer echoes the words he had heard when Stephen prayed for him, saying, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Acts 7, verse 60. Paul knew the grace of benevolent prayer and extended that grace to others. The more we study Paul's prayers, the more we yearn to pray. The more we come to know the grace and power and blessing of prayer, the more we appreciate these lines from a rural parson poet of the early 17th century. Prayer, the church's banquet. Angels age, God's breath in man returning to his birth, the soul in paraphrase, heart in pilgrimage, the Christian plummet sounding heaven and earth, engine against the Almighty, sinner's tower, reverse thunder, Christ side piercing spear, the 6 days' world transposing in an hour, a kind of tune which all things hear and fear, softness and peace and joy and love and bliss, exalted manna, gladness of the best. Heaven in ordinary. Man well dressed. The Milky Way. The bird of paradise. Church bells beyond the stars heard. The souls of blood. The land of spices. Something understood. That little poem about prayer was written by George Herbert. Now, that is the end of that article. And you can subscribe to the Spiritual Sword publication by writing The Spiritual Sword, Post Office Box 241925, Memphis, Tennessee. Now, it is $12 a year. But for that $12, you get this very nice publication four times in the year, filled with articles. This particular one was on the power of prayer. So I would encourage you to subscribe to that or some other publications that we mention from time to time in this Radio Bible School. But now let me return to our Sunday school lesson. We're talking about John the Baptist and Jesus and how Jesus was baptized in the Jordan. In our Sunday school lesson, we read where E.A. Elam had baptized many people in rivers and lakes and creeks and ponds and pools. But what was done? Well, what was done when someone baptized someone in the Jordan? Everyone knows the same thing was done when John baptized people in the Jordan. They were immersed. Now, when Jesus was baptized, something amazing happened. We read in Mark chapter 1 and verse 11, a voice came out of the heavens, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. All present must have heard this voice. On two other occasions, God spoke aloud from heaven to Jesus, once in Jerusalem and once at the Mount of Transfiguration. It is most significant that God sent His upon Jesus and confessed Him before the world as His beloved Son when He was baptized. He acknowledges us as His children and gives us His Spirit when we obey Him. For we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. The baptism of Jesus must fill all who consider it with reverence and awe. First, baptism is a command of God. Second, God's Son and the world's Redeemer, He who came to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, submitted to it. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit were present, and no doubt the angels of God beheld it, and the Father in heaven spoke audibly to all present and said, this, the person just baptized and upon him whom the Holy Spirit was descending, is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. This may be associated with Moses on Sinai, the transfiguration of Jesus, His ascension, and the descent of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. When I see anyone baptized, I think of Jesus' baptism, of the fact that the Son of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and Savior of the world, was baptized. I think, too, of the fact that God spoke from heaven and confessed Jesus as His Son and said He was well pleased with what He had done. And I know that God, His Son, the Holy Spirit, and the angels witness the baptism of everyone now who thus obeys God, and that God is well pleased. Then since God is well pleased, it matters not what the world may think or say. You need to be baptized. Here's a little poem at the end of the lesson. It's not enough to say we're sorry and repent, yet still go on from day to day, just as we always went. Repentance is to leave the sins we loved before and show that we in earnest grieve by doing them no more. In our next lesson, we'll talk about how Jesus heals the sick.